All over the world, churches that use what's called the lectionary read from passages that help them go through a cycle of reading the Bible each year. And this year, the Old Testament reading during Christmas is all from Isaiah. And so I've been preaching through this month of December, preaching through passages that churches all over the world read during this time of year that relate to the Christmas season, Advent season, and Christmas season. This morning is no different. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 63, verses 7, 8, and 9. If you want to follow along in your pew Bible, that is on page 791. Hear the word of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 7, 8, and 9. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted to us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel, that he has granted them according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their Savior. And in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Oh God, would you add blessing to this, both the reading and the preaching of your word. Amen. I'm fairly convinced that there's a hierarchy out there, a hierarchy of difficulty as related to change. Anytime an individual faces change, a family faces change, an organization faces change, I'm fairly convinced that there's a hierarchy of difficulty. I think you know what I mean. Let's, for example, say that tomorrow, I think it's Procter & Gamble makes Crest toothpaste. Isn't that right? Yeah. Procter & Gamble? You're like, who cares, Jamie, right? Sure, go on with the message, right? If they come out with a message, we're bankrupt. No more Crest on the shelves in a month. I'm fairly sure that you would be able to make that change, that change in direction. If you'd have to use a Colgate product, wouldn't you? It would not be a big deal, right? So that's probably low on the hierarchy of difficulty related to change, right? What about you come home from a doctor's appointment? The doctor's told you, your diet? Well, you know, you're going to need to cut out some sweets. And you're thinking what? You're thinking that Oreo cheesecake blizzard cream cake pie thing that you love, you're thinking, ooh, that might be a little more difficult than choosing Colgate, right? That's a little higher up on the difficulty of change, changing directions, right? Or how about in a moment of transparency, in a very significant relationship you have with someone, they just come out and tell you, you know what? You're really a judgmental person. And in a moment of great sobriety, rather than being defensive, you go, yeah, I think I really am. I'd like to change direction. I'd like to be someone other than someone who's so quick to judge. Colgate, dessert, changing a behavior. You're getting up there, aren't we, now in the hierarchy of difficulty when it comes to changing direction, wouldn't you say? And then there's the organization thing. An organization who may have had missional drift. We were doing this, but our mission and our mission, like we're off target in our fulfilling our mission. That is like, when you talk about like organizations, right, and large groups of people and money, and that's at the top of the hierarchy. seeking change, changing direction. John Maynard Keynes, some of you may know, the former British economist, he said this: "The difficulty lies not in the new ideas, but in escaping the old ones, which ramify, for those of us brought up as we are, into every corner of our minds." The old ideas are so prevalent in every corner of our minds that it's not the new ideas that are tough, the new directions that are tough. It's overcoming the old ones, the old ways of thinking. The Bible speaks about new ideas, speaks about new directions, speaks about changing directions with one unequivocal term. It's called repentance. Repentance. When the Bible talks about taking on a new idea, a new direction, changing into a new idea, a new direction, it often uses the word repentance, changing directions. An essential aspect, really, of not only a Christian's life, but an organization's life, if you will. The book of Isaiah is really actually full, not necessarily of the word repentance, but the idea of changing directions. We've been seeing this all month long. God is choosing to love His people by judging them for their unfaithfulness. They have gone one direction, and He is encouraging with the strongest terms through judgment that they would go the other direction. Isaiah is filled with pictures and words of both judgment and salvation. Turn. Repent. Go this direction. And it's weaved with these promises. And our text, in fact, is nested in what's called a lament of repentance. Our text is nestled in a section of Isaiah where Isaiah is giving God's people a pattern for repentance. Actually, a lament for repentance. A lament of repentance was known as a form of corporate repentance. There was actually a format that was followed, that was encouraged. There was these elements of historical reminiscence where you'd review the past, historically reminisce. You know what reminiscence is, right? Then there was a complaint. They would complain to God about something. And then there was a period of confession. There's a point of confession. And then there was a petition. God, would you do this? And then a declaration of trust. God, we trust you. Our text takes on this very first part, historical reminiscence. That Isaiah wants to give God's people a pattern for repentance. Is something, an example, if you will, of repentance. Ours takes the form of this first section. If we're going to make any progress in repentance, in changing directions, personally, family-wise, corporately, here's the things we got to know that Isaiah may suggest to us. Here's the first thing. We have to remember first the kindnesses of the Lord. The kindnesses of the Lord. Verse 7. What does Isaiah suggest is the first step for, like, making a change? Going a different direction, repenting, if you will. It's recounting the steadfast love of the Lord. This is mentioned, this phrase, steadfast love of the Lord, is mentioned a couple times in this passage. It's actually from the Hebrew word hesed, which means loving kindness, the kindnesses. In fact, if you looked at our text, you find that word at the very beginning and the very end of our section. Kindnesses, recalling the kindnesses of the Lord. And Isaiah would do that a number of different ways. He'd say, recall the kindnesses, the praises of the Lord. It's another way of speaking of the kindness. All that the Lord has granted to us, the great goodnesses to the house of Israel, and the abundant kindnesses. Throughout this passage, he's saying the first step is to look back at the kindnesses of God. Isaiah is modeling this for, and the first step is to retell, to remember, to recount the kindnesses of God, how God has been specifically kindness. Now, what would the people of God have remembered if they were to act on this? Well, a lot of things, right? They remember maybe Abraham being called out of the land of Ur and being called into the promised land. Maybe they would have recalled what? The plagues that plagued Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea and the deliverance in the Promised Land. All these kindnesses of God. They would have read this and Isaiah would have been encouraging that. Why? He's asking them to go a different direction. They got to be confident and sure of the kindnesses of God. That God, they're going a new direction. They got to be confident that God has been kind to them in the past and He'll be kind to them in the future, even on this new direction. Is it any wonder? Then we find in Romans chapter 5, verse 4, that Paul would say, what? Romans 5, 4, that the kindness of the God is meant to lead us to repentance. Isn't that such opposite of what we normally think? When we think about parenting or at work or whatever, we think about bringing the hammer down, do we not? When we want people to change. Isaiah says, look to the kindness of God. Look to how He's been kind to you if you're headed out in a new direction, because you've got to be convinced that He is there in the future. This is kind of like, here's an illustration for you. Let's say you're on a long trip. The trip's not going too well. It's taking way too long. You ever had those trips? Taking way too long to get there. You're kind of hungry. Maybe you're even a little bit lost, but you don't want to admit it because you're a guy, right? But you're absolutely committed to this destination because someone has told you when you get there, it's going to make your life. I mean, it's just going to be great when you get to that destination. Trip's not going well. I intercept you. I come across your path and I tell you, you're going the wrong direction. You need to change direction. You actually need to repent and go that direction. But you're so committed. In your mind, you have what it's going to be like to reach that destination, all it's going to give and deliver to you. And you're really reticent. And I tell you, you've got to get out of this car. This car's not even the right vehicle to take on this trip. And you've got to go that way. And you're really hesitant. Would you not be? And then I say to you, you know, let's remember something here. That car you're driving in, do you remember the day I gave it to you? Remember the day I bought it for you? Do you remember that seven-course meal? You remember that day you were so hungry, and I spent the day and I cooked you a seven-course meal? Remember that day? Remember that map you haven't used? Remember the map? I bought that map. I charted out the direction you're supposed to go. What am I doing? Are you more apt if you start remembering my kindnesses to you? Then maybe that new direction is the way you should go. Remembering His kindnesses, do you trust me? And now I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Him. Do you trust Him? Have you seen His kindnesses in the past? And this could come in very, really, really many, many forms. You might be thinking specific provisions that you've encountered as an individual, as a spouse, as a church, specific provisions that you know were God's kindness to you, or maybe His kindness of taking you through a very difficult season. And you go, that's God's kindness. What is going on here? Either way, we in church, individual church, we always need to, there always is a need to go a different direction. What's our first step? Is to revisit the kindnesses of God. Because our heart may be set on a less than worthy trajectory. It's going to take great courage to go there. How do we know God will be kind? On the route, we look back to His kindnesses. So not only do we have to review and remind ourselves of God's kindnesses, but second, we have to remember the Lord's calling. So we have to remember His kindnesses, but we have to also remember His calling. We see this in verse 8. In verse 8, Isaiah not only wants his people to remember God's kindnesses, but he also wants to remember their calling. He says this. He says, surely there are my people, children who will not deal falsely. It's like God's engaging in this kind of a rhetorical conversation. So they need to go that direction. They need to change direction. Surely they know who they are. Surely they remember whose they are. Surely they remember that they are mine and I'm their God. This is covenant language. This is really covenant language. Covenant language, a covenant is a special relationship in the ancient Near East where there'd be a sovereign and he would provide like protection and salvation for a lesser client, and that lesser client would actually provide loyalty and fidelity to that sovereign. In the salvation, then the one who was saved would provide great loyalty and serve and know whose they are. Who cares for them? Isaiah is really saying something that the whole Bible says. That if you know whose you are, going a different direction is not as hard. If God calls us to go this direction and do this, X, Y, Z, if we stop and ask, I'm not my own. Whose am I? Oh, I'm God's. He is my God, and I am His. Isaiah would have his the people of God think through this and ask that question. In fact, one commentary said this: if God chose us, then we must choose Him by being loyal to Him and living lives of true character to the one who has chosen us. That's what he's telling Israel. If I've called you to go this direction, it may be tough, but it reflects really whose you are. Who has purchased you? If we're called to follow him, it's a whole lot easier when we know to whom we belong. So Isaiah is saying, if you remember who is your God, who is your Lord, who has chosen you, then repenting, changing direction is not as hard. How about you? Do you personally know of a situation in your life where you know repentance, a change of direction, is in order? Do you know it on a family level? Do you know it on a church level? Do you? Have you stopped to ask the question, whose am I? What is the calling on my life? And when you ask that question, and when you answer that, that's a whole different scenario when you're trying to go a different direction. Because we know a new direction is difficult. We know a new direction can be scary. But when we ask the question, whose am I? Who's chosen me? Who's called me? What am I to be doing? The direction is a lot easier. So not only are we supposed to remember God's kindness, we're supposed to remember our calling or whose we are, but third and finally, we're supposed to remember God's character. Remember God's character. We see this in verse 9. Remember, Isaiah is actually modeling a reminiscent form of repentance, a lament form of repentance. And he's given this a model form. And then he says some interesting things here in verse 9. Isaiah refers historically to God's character, to the Lord's character. Where does he do that, Jamie? He says in verse 9, in all their afflictions he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. This is really a reference to Exodus 2, where God, in the midst of their slavery in Egypt, actually the text says in Exodus 2 that God saw their suffering. He saw what they were going through. And then he moved to do something about it. The Lord's character, what character really does the Lord have? What is his heart towards me, toward us, and towards his people? What is it? Isaiah would say, he sees their affliction. Obviously, the text says he was afflicted himself. God doesn't suffer the same way we suffer, but it just gives this idea that he knows. He's not there. He is there and here, and he knows. His character is such that, in fact, the scriptures would say that he is what? Near to the broken and contrite of heart. How can he be near? Because he's not only transcendent, but he's immanent. He is among us, and he sees and he knows. His character is one of that. And then Isaiah would say, in his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. Isaiah was almost like, this direction, this new direction you have to go? Let me tell you something. Let me show you the heart of God. Let me tell you who God... Let me tell you the God to whom is calling you to a new direction. The God is calling you to repentance. Let me show you His heart. Let me show you His character. He sees. He knows. And in love And in love and pity, he redeemed them. Isaiah is laying bare the character, the heart of God. Why is this critical when changing directions or repenting? Well, do you know what it takes to repent and change a direction? It takes admitting what? That you're going the wrong direction. That you're doing the wrong thing. It's really hard to be honest about the poor direction, the lack of direction, or the wrong direction if you know someone's going to standing over you to condemn you. Heart of God. Love. Sees. Knows. Not going to reject you. Not going to remove His presence from you. In fact, you can stare that piece of repentance, that new direction, knowing that you're not alone. That God will not let you go, will not, in fact, reject you. And change a new direction, is it guaranteed success? No. There may be a spot of failure. That's tough, too. Who do we have to lean on? We have this God whose heart is one who sees, is one who is love. I am not left alone when I venture out on this new direction. Isaiah gives this model to the people of God, but you know, honestly, it's really during Christmas, it's really during the Incarnation, it's really Jesus that we see this on display, do we not? I mean, Jesus not only remembered God's kindnesses, right, to him, but he actually became the kindness of God, did he not? In his own body, in his blood. He became the chief and the penultimate expression, not only just expression, but the kindness of God in the flesh. Willing to live the life that we should have lived, die the death we should have died, in his own flesh, becoming the kindness of God. We see in Jesus this one who's faithful to his calling, is he not? He's faithful. He knows whose he is. And yet he's doing it all for you and me. Living out this calling. Living out his life. Serving his calling for you and me. And not only that, in Jesus, we see really what? The full expression of God's heart. Do we not? This one in whom laid down it all. There was nothing left. In sports, we say, don't leave anything out there, right? Give it all. And Jesus did that to the point of death. We know the heart and character of the Lord by looking at the cross, looking at the resurrection. So in fact, if Isaiah was here, I believe he would say all these things, but ultimately we have to look to Jesus as the greatest resource, the greatest measure, the greatest power to go from one direction to the other, to repent and to turn. Would you pray with me? Lord, you've called us to a life of repentance. It's kind of hard to imagine that you never once had to repent, but yet you took on all of our reasons for repenting, all of our sin. And yet, 3 days later, God raised you from the dead. The Father accepted that payment, accepted that life. And now we stand before you, holy and blameless because of Christ. Oh Lord, would you help us as individuals, as families, as churches, as organizations, to face change, to face going new direction with great courage by looking at how kind you've been to us, right? Looking at your heart, looking at these things, remembering our calling so that we could go and be whom you've called us to be. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.